It's wonderful to be able to come now and to open God's Word, to look at its truths and rejoice in the things revealed to us by His holy apostles. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul has reminded the Thessalonians of what they mean to him. In chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, Paul writes, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and our joy." Paul wanted to see the Thessalonians again, but the Bible tells us that Satan had hindered. In verse 18 he wrote, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." As we learn from many other places in the Bible, when Satan hinders a man of God or his people from doing something that they desire to do, oftentimes they can turn in another direction, and God will bless those efforts, as he did when Paul, finding himself unable to go to the Thessalonians, sent his brother in the ministry and co-laborer in the Lord Jesus Christ and sent to them Timothy. Notice in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother, and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." This morning, as we look at this third chapter, I want us to look at these different truths: separation, tribulation, and joy. These are the three main things that are stressed in chapter 3. Separation, tribulation, and joy, or rejoicing. We notice in verse 17 that Paul wanted to come and to see these people. "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." Paul realized and he was agonized by the separation of himself from these who were at Thessalonica, men and women who had been saved when he came and preached the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that they had turned from their idols and had become servants of the living God. The Bible tells us that they had accepted the Word of God as it indeed is, the very Word of God. And Paul said, "For from you has sounded out the word of the faith." They had become active, godly, dedicated people. And Paul loved them, and he said, "If we could, we'd have given you our very souls as well as the gospel of Jesus Christ." But now he is separated from them, and he wants to visit, but Satan has hindered. The Bible tells us that he then sends to them another preacher. The Bible calls him a minister of God and a fellow laborer. Sometimes we don't get who we want when we're in trouble, but oftentimes our desires are overruled and God sends us someone that's even better. But Timothy came to them with a purpose. The Bible tells us it was to establish them and it was to comfort them. Paul could not come, and he determined, he said, to be left alone. He said, "It's better for me to be left alone in Athens and for you to have Timothy to come and to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Paul had not heard from the Thessalonians, and he was anxious about their spiritual condition, and he sent Timothy to establish and to comfort. The word "establish" means that he was to solidify the work, that he was to ground them, to dig a foundation or to build upon the foundation, that he was to comfort as a person would call the child who was in sorrow to his side and stroke him and comfort him. Paul said, I'm sending you Timothy because I worry about your spiritual condition, and I know that we're separated and you've not had much correspondence from me and I've not heard from you. And I'm sending Timothy because I want him to establish you. I want him to comfort you. It was Jesus who said that if a man wasn't willing to leave his house and his lands and his country and his people, he really wasn't worthy to bear the name of Jesus Christ. Separations are necessary in the service of God. Separations occur that we don't understand. When loved ones are called from our home to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't understand this separation, but we do understand that we can be comforted and be established by knowing that God is not a reckless God, and that God allows things to happen to us for many reasons that we're never able to understand. As I look at the epistle that I've read from this morning, I don't understand why God allowed Satan to hinder Paul from going to Thessalonica. It seems eminently sensible to me for Paul to go and comfort, edify, and establish. But God allowed Satan to continue his hindering Paul to return to these people. And I cannot answer the question of why God has separated me from this person, or God has separated you from that person. I do not attempt to understand it, but I do know that separation is a part of the Christian life. And we've all experienced it, and some of you are experiencing it now. Separation is a part not only of Christian life, it's a part of living on this earth. There are times when our children leave. There are times when parents are called home. A time when children are called home and we're separated. But I want you to understand that the word separated implies the reuniting. We are separated not for eternity and not forever. We're separated for only a brief, short period of time. And this is what Paul is feeling as he is in Athens, and as he writes, he says, I want to be with you. I love you, and I long to preach the word of God to you. But right now, we're separated. That doesn't mean the work of God is to stop. Doesn't mean that Paul is to mourn in his condition at Athens. It doesn't mean that these people ought to sit down and mourn and not work for God. We all have our burdens. We all have our trials. We all have problems of separation. Paul said, I'm sending someone to help you be established and to help you be comforted. And a person who will not endure separation is doomed to failure in the work of God. I will tell those of you who are here who are young ministers that you will be separated from your family, and you will be separated from your loved ones from time to time if you do the work of God. It's a necessary part of Christian service. And for anyone to say, I will not separate myself from my family, I will not separate myself from my own people, my own kind, and I will not go where God wants me to go, will fail in the service of God. Paul realized that he could not go, but he could send Timothy. Then in verse 3, he tells us that affliction or persecution is appointed. He said, I wanted Timothy to come, and I wanted him to comfort you, and I wanted him to establish you, because Whenever afflictions come, I didn't want you to be moved by them. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereto. Paul said, when I was with you, I told you that you would suffer persecution. Verse 4, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, Paul said, you heard me tell you that life would have its problems, that you would suffer tribulation. Paul said, this is an appointment that has been made for us by Almighty God, an elected thing, an appointed thing, a purpose thing, an undeniable thing, an unavoidable thing. Paul said, it's going to happen. Jesus realized this, and in the book of Matthew, he spoke concerning those who would be offended by tribulation. In chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, Paul said, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word and immediately with joy receives it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. People offended by the word of God. People who quit under adversity because they refuse to adhere to the plain and simple teachings of the word of God. Paul knew and was concerned, and he said, I want you to know this is not some strange, unappointed thing. And Jesus said there are people who receive the word of God with joy. When they're called upon to stand by the word of God, they become offended and disperse themselves into society and become useless and meaningless in the service of God. In many ways, we're an untried generation of people. There's been no active civil nor religious persecution in America for over 150 years. Political persecution, if it were to occur at this particular point in our existence, would reveal some very strange facts. I do not pray for it. I do not ask for it. I do not think it would be good for us to engage in prayer. God would send upon us the unmitigated pressures that come from physical and civil persecution. But I do state again that it would reveal some very strange facts about this church and Christianity in general. There might be a lot of surprises if we suddenly were faced with death sentences for preaching and teaching the truth of God's word. There might be people whom we have not paid that much attention to who become strong and who become the leaders. And sometimes those who have been in leadership might shrink from it. We don't know what it would do to us. But I pray to God that if there are persecutions that come to us, we will be able to stand tall and true, never being offended in the word of God, taking our stand upon its divine revelation and authenticity. Paul said, we're going to have tribulation. And he said, I was with you and I told you this. And when I couldn't forbear any longer, when I just couldn't wait to see what was going on, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Paul said, I just couldn't wait any longer. I sent someone, and they investigated your church and your relationship and your activity. And Paul said, they brought some good news back. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us, and we also to see you, Paul said, When Timothy came, he brought good news. He talked about your faith and charity. That's love. He talked about your ability to see things that the naked eye cannot see, see things that will happen in the future. He complimented them for having faith and having love. And he said, I'm so thankful that you remember us. And I'm so thankful you want to see us. Not anything is rewarding to a true minister of God than to go where he's been and see people still dedicated to the service of Almighty God. Paul says in verse 8 that he was kept alive in them. Notice what he states, for now we live if you stand faith in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Now Paul realized, as a parent does, that we are mortals. And the parent seeks to continue to live in his child. And the preacher seeks to continue his life in the converts that he has been able to make as he preached the Word of God. Paul realized that as long as there were people on earth who preached the truth, he would live, though he were dead. Paul ran out of words and said, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Paul talks about joy as being a reward. And the reward of faithfulness, the reward of sacrifice, the reward of persecution, the reward of separation. Paul said, what is my joy, what is my reward, but seeing you as you are. Those of you who have children, realize that the one thing that can ease your passing from this life is what your children are or what they've become. If your children have followed the path of truth and righteousness, they're mature people. When it comes time for you to die, you can look at your children and you can lie down in death without a great deal of regret, because you can see in them a continuation of those things that are most important. You ought to take joy and be rewarded from the things that you have seen as God's people, the things that have been accomplished as a church. And though we have had no great evangelistic accomplishments, I think we can take joy in that our missionaries in India reported 135 people saved last year. And to rejoice in the fact that in another land and among other people of other colors and other cultures that we have been reproduced. And that we live today. Not only here, we live at another place. And just as surely as you live in your children and have hope in your children, there are people in India who reflect us, and our beliefs, and our convictions. We live in them. And it is a joy. Paul said, I want you to grow, to increase, to abound more and more in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. We never reached any great plateau where we can say we've got it made. where God expects no more real sacrifices from us. We never have reached that here, and we'll never reach it, no matter where we are or what we're doing. I still believe the greatest work for this church lies in front of it. The greatest work for you and the greatest work for me lies in the future.